Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm and a live link at thetrumpet.com. This is Trumpet Radio Live Weekend Edition. The Berlin attacker is dead. Details on what happened in that situation. Also, a list of the top 10 U.S. cities, if you're in the middle class, where your buck goes the furthest, I guess. And also, Team Hillary takes aim at her, quote, faithless electors after she loses 5 electoral votes. That's not a high five, that's a low five. That and more coming up on Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live, this weekend edition, 101.3 KPCG. We are online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com. I'm Dwight Falk and Grant Turgeon here with me today. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can do that at kpcgfm. We'll send out some tweets of about programming, sometimes a photo or two, just to spice it up. And if you'd like to send us any emails, please do that. Comments at kpcg.fm. We appreciate those when they come in. How you doing, Grant?
Fantastic.
Ready for the weekend that is descending.
Yes, sir.
Upon us. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, it is a good feeling to get to the weekend and be ready. Feel like you put in a good week, you're tired, you're ready to have a little bit of a change of pace, if nothing else.
Yeah, I thought I had some big plans for this weekend, but I just forgot what they were, so maybe they weren't that important.
you'll think of something. Something will come to you. Yeah. Well, of course, the big news this week was that terror attack over there in Berlin, and the attack suspect has been killed in a shootout there in Milan, and he was stopped during a random check that they do, and he yelled, you know, Allah Akbar, pulled out a gun. When they asked for his ID, shot an officer in the shoulder, and then he was shot by another police officer. And that police officer, I think, had only been on the job for 2 weeks, so talk about, you know, being thrust in the spotlight pretty quickly. But anyway, so the attacker is dead there, shot in Milan.
I don't know if that's the same as that Ohio State policeman who shot the terrorist there. I thought he was pretty new on the job as well. But
yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. These rookie police officers are becoming heroes pretty fast.
You never know like what you're going to run into. But according to thesun.co.uk, they say the Berlin terror trucker they have a picture of him there with other migrants on Italian island of Lampedusa, if I said that right, in 2011 after escaping Arab Spring by boat from his native Tunisia. So he came over in that wave. He was jailed for 4 years soon after for his role in burning down a migrant center on the island. So he burns down this migrant center after coming over, running away from the Arab Spring, I guess. He spends 4 years in jail. And during his time in jail, he doesn't get rehabilitated. He becomes more radicalized, gets out, and then commits this attack. So it's really hard to see things like this happen where somebody commits an attack and you had him. And you knew he was a troublemaker for a long time. Let him go, and he goes out, and he causes more trouble.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing because which side is he on? If he's burning down a migrant center, that seems like it would hurt the migrants, but he is a migrant himself, and then he starts killing native Germans in a truck not too long after that. So it seems like he's just all for destruction of any kind.
I think he was involved in a robbery as well or something. But anyway, it's kind of the same thing that kind of I think happens here in the U.S. or probably anywhere. Somebody goes to prison. They very often don't come out better. Now, there are cases they probably do. But in a lot of cases, they come out worse than when they went in. They get more hardened or, in this case, more radicalized. And so anyway, at least it's over with as far as this guy goes. But like even they were talking about in the news today, you know, there's other terror attacks, threats of attacks, rather. Some are being thwarted. Who knows? Hopefully they all are. But it's just this ongoing thing. You get one guy, but then there's another group out there, you know, a bunch more eager to take the place. So it's a really tough battle.
Yeah, and really anyone could be a terrorist. It doesn't take too much special training, I don't think, to just you know, kill someone with any weapon you have at your disposal, or even if it's a non-weapon, anyone can drive a vehicle and run people over. So it, all it would take is to be swept up in a little bit of online propaganda, or maybe have a buddy that is into some terrorism as well, and then you just have a whole group of new terrorists.
Yeah, it's a bad situation there. There was another situation that happened on Friday morning. Malta hijackers, they surrendered after releasing Libyan airliner passengers. So it appears that it's been taken care of. All passengers have been released. Hijackers came off the plane with the last crew members. Malta's armed forces are leading negotiations with the hijackers. There were 7 crew members on board. The flight was scheduled to travel from Shaba to the Libyan capital of Tripoli, and then it was hijacked and diverted over to Malta, but it appears everyone got off the plane. So that's kind of one of those things that's developing as well. And another, I don't know a lot about what's going on there, but anything coming out of Libya, you never know. Like, could be a lot of terrorism involved.
That's right. That's clearly a hotbed, especially we know it as the place where our Benghazi embassy was set on fire and our ambassador was killed, but that's just one example of many over there.
So that situation at least was taken care of, it looks like, at this point. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting week ahead in the West. This is a holiday week with Christmas and New Year's and things like that. And ISIS has put out a list of churches to attack and things to do. So who knows what'll happen? We'll just see it, and if anything develops, we'll let you know, of course, here on KPCG. Here's an interesting story. Sometimes people get older, they get confused when they're driving. They're trying to go someplace, and they get turned around. They're not sure where they're heading. Pennsylvania man who's 89, he gets lost on a trip to the store, and he ends up in Alabama. He missed it.
Those two states are very far apart for people who maybe not be familiar with our states here.
That was a 900-mile detour.
Yeah.
They say a suburban Philadelphia man whose weekend trip to the neighborhood store somehow led to a 900-mile detour to Alabama is safely back with his family, thankfully, thanks to breakfasting police officers who realized something wasn't right. Haleyville, Alabama Mayor Ken Sunsery said Thursday that 89-year-old Jody Tarbutton of Pennsylvania approached the officers at a restaurant on Monday and asked them where he was. Where am I? And they said, you're in Alabama, Haleyville, Alabama. And it stunned him. He was not expecting to be in Alabama. The officers took him to the police station and ran his driver's license, discovering that he had been missing for 2 days, contacted the authorities, and then notified his family and got him back to where he belonged. So, where am I? Alabama.
Did he drive 900 miles straight? Because that's a whole almost 24 hours of driving.
They didn't give the details of exactly. You know, maybe he doesn't even know. But it is strange. It would be a frightening feeling to not know where you were. But yeah, somewhere along the line, the mind didn't work like it used to. Because besides just, you know, going crazy way out of the way, you'd think at some point you'd be like, well, it seems like I've been driving too long, you know, like I need to do something different. But poor fella, he's 89. I don't know. Maybe he shouldn't have a driver's license. I'm not sure.
It makes me wonder how much of that trip he was actually sleep driving. If he could be technically awake the whole time and be driving without stopping.
Yeah. So really, really strange. It happens. I mean, it's easy enough to get turned around, but usually you don't go 900 miles. So, wow. Anyway, good for the police. They're helping him out and getting him back to where he belongs. Surprisingly, the police didn't attack him. If you were to believe the media narrative, they would have immediately attacked a weaker man.
What do you mean you don't know where you are?
You're in Alabama.
You're in Alabama now, boy.
Yeah. No, they helped him, as, of course, the police would do. So that's kind of interesting. You know, speaking of, like, having odd sleep occurrences, sleep driving or something, I had a really strange dream last night. I had a dream that I was sleeping and then woke up within the dream, but it was still within the dream. You ever have one of those?
Yes.
It's sort of an odd, like, did I ever wake up, or how was I sleeping within my sleep? Like, it's a weird cycle.
Yeah, it's one of those rabbit holes we've been talking about.
And the dream was that I was here at work, and I sat down to do something at, like, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And all of a sudden, somebody like alerted me, and it was 7 at night. And I had just fallen asleep in my chair, and I've been sitting there. But, of course, I wasn't actually here. I was sleeping. So it's really bizarre. I don't know why I had that dream, but...
Maybe reflecting real life a little bit?
Yeah, I hope not. Well, I mean, even in the dream, I was thinking to myself, like, wow, I've never had that happen where I've just, like, completely fallen asleep out of the blue like that. But maybe that's what's going to happen. Maybe that's a premonition. These things are going to start happening. I'll have to have you drive by the studio here at about 7 every night and see if I'm still in my chair.
No problem.
See if I'm
just a minute away.
You're in Alabama, son. you know, people always want to know where their money will go the furthest. This is a list of the top 10 U.S. cities where you can live. They say really well on $60,000 a year, which is, I guess, kind of middle class-ish. And this report is from CNBC. I was surprised that Oklahoma was not on this list.
Yeah.
People often say that Oklahoma is a pretty good cost of living, but they didn't make the top 10.
Are they talking about big cities?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's like Louisville, Kentucky, places like that. So Oklahoma City would definitely be.
Yeah, it should.
I would think so, but maybe we've moved up in the world. Maybe this is an expensive place now.
Well, I know at least the suburbs of Oklahoma City are relatively inexpensive, but maybe Oklahoma City itself is not so much.
Could be.
I don't know.
These are the top 10 U.S. cities where you can live really well. They say on $60,000 a year. Louisville, Kentucky is number 10. So that's an interesting town. I've been there once. They say the cost of living ratio is 39%. The median base salary is $54,000. Medium home value is $137,500. And how many open jobs do they have? 22,693. So if you're looking, it's funny, they have pictures of the cities, and they have this really nice picture of Louisville, Kentucky. But the picture is from old Victoria mansions. Like, you can't live there on $60,000. That's a misleading photo. Like, oh, wow, look at that. It's paradise. You're not getting into that neighborhood for $60,000, I'll tell you that. At least I don't think, unless it's a really, really good deal. Number 9 is Kansas City, Missouri, our neighbor to just the north of us. The cost of living ratio is 39%. I guess that's what they're going off of, cost of living ratio. $58,000 for the base salary, the home value, $147,000. There's 35,000 jobs available if you want to go to Kansas City.
Wow.
Play for the Chiefs. Maybe they need somebody.
Maybe that's one of their jobs.
Do you have any jobs for the Kansas City Chiefs? Front office?
They're actually a good team, so they probably don't need too much help right now.
They are a good team, although they have a history of just doing badly in the playoffs, mm-hmm. no matter how well they do. And I probably have told this joke before, but it made me laugh so hard. I saw it somewhere where, you know, Andy Reid, their coach, he's a big, big fella, and he's got that big chart in front of him for all the plays, and somebody said it was actually an IHOP menu.
I saw one that said, like, he was ordering buffalo wings
yeah.
during the game, not calling plays for his team.
Yeah, what play, coach? We're not familiar with the buffalo wing play. It's like, no, I'm ordering food. and he always has this belt, like this utility belt, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger as he expands. It's a tough life being a coach. Number 8, Birmingham, Alabama. That's a place to live if you want to live comfortably in $60,000. Cost of living ratio is 40%. So 15,000 jobs in Birmingham. You ever been down there?
Oh, I don't think so.
No.
I've driven through a few times through the state, but not the city.
Yeah, me either. I've not been. I don't think I've ever been to Alabama. Cincinnati is number 7. I've been through there. 40% cost of living ratio. There are 32,000 jobs available if you need to go and get one. They don't say what they are, but I'm assuming they're decent jobs.
You'd think that, based on looking at the entire population, that there were no jobs available anywhere.
Yeah, you would think that.
And there's tens of thousands in all of these cities.
Yeah, quite a few. St. Louis is number 6. That surprised me a little bit, but 40% cost of living ratio, 35,000 jobs available. Number 5, Indianapolis, 43% cost of living ratio, and 33,000 jobs available there as well. Cleveland, the mistake by the lake. That's what they call it.
Really?
I've heard that. I think it's Cleveland. No offense, Cleveland. Cost of living ratio, 44%. They have 29,000 jobs available. If you get on LeBron's good side, you get a job. Anywhere in Cleveland.
In his posse?
Well, you can't say that. It's an offensive term.
Racist.
Number 3, Pittsburgh, 45% cost of living ratio, and number of open jobs, 46,000. Number 2, Memphis, Tennessee. I've been through Memphis. There was a lot of road construction. I remember that.
Sure is.
Is there still? Have you been through there lately?
Well, I mean, I've been in there, within the last 2 years.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure there still is a lot.
Oh, no. I drove through there, boy, must have been 20 years ago. And it was just cones after cone. You know, you only have one lane. It's a little nerve-wracking because bumper-to-bumper traffic, everybody's going, I don't know, 75 or something, and there's no room for error. You have cones on one side and then the concrete barriers on the other.
Yeah.
Can't think about it too much because it's a little nerve-wracking.
Those barriers bother me when they're on the passenger side and you don't have as good of a view of how close you are to them when you're driving.
Yeah.
Dallas and Oklahoma City, I think, are very bad with construction right now. Probably worse than Memphis. I don't know.
Have you ever seen when they're putting the cones out? You ever seen anybody do that?
Yes.
Yeah, they're driving with the truck and they just keep dropping the cones. That's got to be a couple day job.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you're going 50 miles, you just keep dropping these cones.
It'd be pretty fun.
The first couple of cones, maybe. I don't know. Number two, Memphis, we mentioned that. They have 17,000 jobs available. And number one, this one surprises me. I don't think anyone wants to go there, Detroit. Mm. They say the cost of living ratio is at 50%. And which is weird. I don't know if that list was best to least or least to best. I'm not sure how they did it. In any event, Detroit they have is number one. 54,000 jobs available. You can buy houses up there pretty cheap. You used to be able to. A couple bucks.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to go into those houses.
Yeah, I would do that. I just have to probably barricade my house a little bit to be safe. Apparently they have those gigantic lion-sized cats just roaming the streets.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, because obviously they get pretty fat feasting on all the rats and things that are just wandering around, I guess.
It's a paradise for cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's videos online that on YouTube and such that are really pretty striking. It shows Detroit in its glory days, and then it shows those same locations today. And that city just fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have not been through there in a long time, maybe ever, actually. But some have, just flying through, and they've said it's been pretty rough. So I don't know if it's improving at all. I know they're trying to improve it, but anyway, there are some jobs up there and some homes, but I don't think a lot of people want to go to Detroit.
It's a little confusing because they have all the professional sports teams. It seems like the downtown area is pretty large, at least, or it has a lot of big buildings, but maybe the places to live aren't so nice.
Yeah, a lot of the suburbs really fell apart.
Yeah.
And I've seen a few stories even on the national news where people are trying to come in and improve some of those areas. Because what happens is, you have a street and maybe one person stays in their house when the bottom fell out of the housing market. People couldn't stay. So you've got one person that owns their house. It's a nice house. And everything else is just vacant. So you've got homeless moving in. They just fall apart because if you're not in a house, it falls apart quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you're that one person on the street, it's like terrifying because you're living in a ghost town by yourself and everything's falling apart around you. So that happened in a few cities.
Mm-hmm.
That happened in Las Vegas, a few places.
Yeah, well, in Detroit, they've seen houses that are like full of syringes and needles where clearly homeless people have been shooting up drugs or something. And, obviously the windows are broken because they had to break into the house in the first place.
Yeah, that happens quickly. There was one story, I remember back when the housing crisis hit in, I think, 2008, I guess it was. Somebody, they had built these new high-rises somewhere in Florida down near one of the beach areas. And they built them, and people were putting their orders in. Economy bottoms out. People back out. One guy's living there in a high-rise. And he said it was terrifying because they showed a picture of it from outside. Whole building's dark at night, and there's one light on. And he can hear people running around in the building because they broke in.
Ooh.
And there's one guy that lives there. And so it was terrible. And everybody knows where he is because you can see the light, So it was really, I never thought about how scary that would be, but it would be horrifying.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be terrifying living in a building that was empty as long as people didn't bother to break in. But if they're running through the halls right past your door, you don't know who they are, what they might be capable of.
Yeah, that would be, who's out there? Anyone out there? That'd be scary. So, of course, this one's happening. We have a couple of ones here. A lot of people buy products on Amazon. It's a very popular website. And now people are using the product reviews to get across their political feelings. Reviews of the Ivanka Trump women's Issa boot, I guess. I don't know how to pronounce it, which has a price of $180. That's a bargain. Included this. This is one of the reviews. These boots were perfect for wiping my feet on the Constitution and trampling the civil liberties and basic human rights of my fellow Americans, wrote a user named Susan Harper. The spike heel is ideal for grinding democracy into the ground or simply kicking the downtrodden as you stride past. Oh, clever. Clever, clever. Get a job at Rolling Stone.
Hey, pretty well written, at least, even though it was complete slander.
I, you know, people can have whatever opinions they want of different people, but... You know, if you're going to review the product for the sake of other people, why don't you actually review the product? That would bother. I mean, if I was in the market for something and I'm trying to find out, well, what did people think? Did they like it or not? And I'm getting this kind of snark. It doesn't help me.
Yeah.
It's rude. Wasting everybody's time.
It's comical to hear liberals complaining about someone else disrespecting the Constitution as well after the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Like, just take a moment to look in the mirror, examine yourself.
Yeah, I don't think she really thought through what any of it meant, but it sounded good. Amazon user AR called them two extremely right boots in her one-star review and added that the sizing and all other info is in Russian, but they are made in China. That's pretty funny, actually. But again, not helpful, and I don't know. It's just kind of what we see, I guess, with online commenting. It's a comedy show.
Yeah. Well, far right, that's funny, too, because he's probably a little bit on the left.
Yeah.
He's far right compared to Mr. Obama, but he's not far right compared to hardly anyone else.
No. So that doesn't really make sense. They say that the stinging insults go on and on. And, of course, you get one, and then everybody wants to pile on. It says virtually every Ivanka Trump product on Amazon has at least one scathing review designed as a barb against the businesswoman, particularly as she relates to her father's political agenda. We've seen these activist reviews for several years, but they appear to be getting more common, said Jason Goldberg, who works for Razorfish, which is a commerce and content practice. And so people are doing that now. Instead of reviewing the products, they're taking their political shot. So beware if you're going to buy something on Amazon.
That's true. Now that I think of it, maybe having political views out in the open would actually help a product, because obviously half the people would boycott it, but the other half would actually buy it more than they ever would have, which probably overall would increase the number of people buying. So maybe Ivanka Trump is actually in a pretty good situation now.
Yeah, she's laughing all the way to the bank. Who knows? But anyway, I'm not in the market for any of her boots, so I'm not worried about it. But
but what about your wife? Maybe she'd like them.
Maybe so. Yeah, maybe so. Here's one other one from the Of Course This Is Happening segment. San Francisco is a pretty liberal town, of course. And one guy's finally had enough, and he's moving out. Metallica's lead singer, James Hetfield. Remember Metallica from back in the... Well, I guess they're still around, 80s and 90s, kind of a hard rock type of group. He's fed up with the elitist San Francisco Bay Area attitudes. If Metallica's leaving, what does that say?
Oh, that's unbelievable.
He said they're elitist. He had a podcast with radio host Joe Rogan, and he said, I kind of got sick of the Bay Area, the attitudes of the people there. They talk about how diverse they are and things like that, and it's fine if you're diverse like them. So he's sick of it. He's moving to Vail, Colorado. Hmm. He said he showed up with a deer on his bumper, and they didn't like that. So I guess he had a deer head ornament or something. I don't quite understand what it was.
Maybe
but
he had an entire deer that he just strapped on there after going hunting.
Well, that's true. That's what it could be, because he does mention that he eats differently than others. And so he got sick of the elitist attitudes. And I just thought it was funny when it's like some guy in a hard rock group that's sick of the elitist attitudes.
Yeah, you'd probably assume that most musicians would be considered elitists themselves, but yeah, that at least that guy has some common sense and doesn't want to be around people who are going to try and run his life if he doesn't agree with them.
He should go live. What's that guy that he was kind of a rock star in the 70s, and now he's really conservative, I guess, and he's always pro guns. I can't think of what his name is. It'll come to me. Anyway, he could go hang out with that guy.
Yeah.
I can't think of what his name is. He had like one hit in the 70s. And that he was very kind of flamboyant with his conservative views and always on a lot of talk shows. I can't think of his name. Anyway, if I think of it, I'll
Bring it up later in the show.
Bring it up later.
Out of nowhere.
Randomly. Why are you talking about that guy? It's really bothering me. I can see his face, handlebar mustache, the whole thing, long hair, running around the woods and stuff. I can't think of what his name is. So those are some of the things that are happening out there today. We have a new Key of David program coming up here on KPCG this weekend, and it's also on television. You can find it online also at thetrumpet.com. Title of the program is Great Again. Donald Trump has promised to make America great again. Can he succeed? The Bible says that America will return to greatness, but not because of any man. So that is the new program coming up this weekend here on the Key of David. You can listen for that here in a bit on KPCG. And also the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Stephen Fleury, from Edmond, Oklahoma. He's here in town. One vital tool you need to grow spiritually and some great examples from the life of Herbert W. Armstrong. You can catch up on that programming this weekend if you missed it live, along with all the programming here on KPCG. That's something you can do this weekend if you're bored.
Binge listen, as always.
Binge listen, even if you're not bored.
Especially when it's cold.
Yeah.
Stay inside anyway.
Stay inside. Don't bother going out. You can take it with you. Tune in app.
There you go.
Do it on your smartphone if you're out there walking or doing whatever you need to be doing. Some people enjoy coffee, myself being one. And you can get free Starbucks coffee for 10 consecutive days, potentially. But here's a little catch to it. They say Starbucks is giving out free tall size espresso drinks for 10 days in select locations starting on Friday. Caffeine addicts, you don't have to be an addict, can get their hands on everything from mochas to flat whites. I don't even know what that is. And holiday classics like the chestnut praline latte by attending a, quote, pop-up party between 1 and 2 p.m. taking place at over 100 stores per day, different stores. They say keep an eye on starbucks.com/cheer, and they'll tell you what stores are having it that day. So you can go get a freebie.
That's pretty exciting. I've noticed journalists often do make the beginning of their articles pretty extreme like that. Like, they'll say, yeah, sports fanatics might be interested in this. What if you just like to watch sports once in a while? Is that also okay?
Yeah. What if you just like a little coffee, but you're not an addict?
What if you appreciate the taste of Starbucks? You don't have to go over the top with it necessarily.
No, you don't have to be addicted to it. But you might be able to get a freebie. So I'll be checking the website.
Starbucks.com/cheer.
Yeah.
That's what you said?
That's right. Starbucks.com/cheer. And then you just put in your state. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you if you've got a store you can go to. Of course, it'd be a madhouse, but hey, if you don't mind the crowds, get over there and check it out. Get yourself a freebie.
How far would you drive for a free coffee?
Me? Oh, that's a tough one. I guess if it was just within Edmond, I'd probably do that. And if it was, like, say, out further, I'd probably, if I was in the area anyway, like, I'd have to plan another sort of trip that would make sense. Probably that. I don't think I'd go much further than that. What about you?
Yeah, probably the same. As soon as the gas cost goes past the price of the coffee, then it's not really worth it.
Well, and the other problem is, you know, once you start having kids, then it's like, yeah, you got one freebie, and then they all want their drinks, and now, you know.
That's
you gotta,
probably what they're thinking when they have the promotion. It's not usually people coming in there by themselves.
I have to bring in a bucket of gold flakes to pay for all of this. This is Trumpet Radio Live, the weekend edition. Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, Abraham Blondeau stopping by. You can follow us on Twitter at KPCGFM. And any emails you'd like to send, please send those to comments at KPCG.FM. How you doing, Abraham?
Doing pretty well.
Got a good story for you here, buddy. This is the actual headline. Most Canadian thing ever. Okay? Listen to this. On Tuesday, a man in Edmonton suburb of Stony Plain pulled into a Tim Hortons drive-thru to grab a hot chocolate on the way home from work in a Zamboni. He was driving a Zamboni.
I did read this story this morning, actually.
Yeah. His name is Jesse Meshack, and he had been working on the unusual vehicle in his shop and was bringing it home to surface a rink he built in his backyard. A very common thing to do in Canada, apparently. The CBC reports that customers came out of the iconic Canadian coffee shop to take pictures, and the woman in the car in front of him paid for his drink. That's nice. And he said that his unique ride got attention on the way home, but luckily not from the police or the Mounties, as it isn't exactly street legal, even if it handled the road just fine. I've said this before, but I don't have a story like that, but my neighbor one time drove a bar stool down the road. I was like getting a drink of water, looking out the front window, and all of a sudden he drove by on a bar stool. And I thought, whoa.
He's going through to a drive-through bar.
Maybe.
I'm not comprehending what you're saying here.
He took a bar stool and he put it on, I don't know what it was, some sort of a base with wheels, and it was motorized, and he drove it down the road.
Okay, there you go.
I never saw it again. Yeah.
Did it have a steering wheel, or did
it
just
had
like
handles?
Okay.
Like handles that came out. It was whole, I don't know.
Okay. Because I'm like, once, if it didn't have a steering wheel, once it goes, then whatever direction
you have
it takes,
to lean.
Yeah.
He's kamikaze. Swivel
chair.
Doesn't care about crashing.
I never saw him again. So I never saw him come back. So I don't know. That happens sometimes in the old neighborhood. Somebody drives by in something once, and you're like, what is that? And yeah, then you don't see it again. So the bar stool was the weirdest thing. Not quite a Zamboni, but still.
Yeah. At least that the guy in Canada wasn't riding a moose.
That's true.
Because that would probably rival it for most Canadian thing ever.
That would be cool, actually, if a guy pulled up riding a moose or had like a sleigh pulled by several moose.
Moose are actually
mooses.
Moosin are actually quite dangerous.
Yeah, you don't.
So you don't want to ride one of those.
You don't want to mess with them. What's the national animal for Canada?
A beaver.
Okay, that'd be even better. Bunch of beavers pulling you around.
Yeah, that would be incredible. So, but they're. Their tails would just be slapping the concrete all the time. So it'd just be some, you hear this slapping roar as wherever the guy went.
Intimidation factor, though.
It would be perfect for those days when it was flooding.
Yeah.
They just build the dam and you keep going.
Yeah.
You've got a story for us here, Abraham, from capx.com, which I've never heard of before, but interesting website. It says Obama will be only a footnote in America's history. I saw a potentially related headline yesterday where they said they were feeling like they're being upstaged. Time moves on. I mean, time moves on. And there's not a whole lot of the George Washington, Abraham Lincoln types that really have this great foothold on history. But what do they have to say about the Obama administration?
Yeah, this is really interesting. CapEx, it's a capitalist conservative news website with a lot of opinion pieces. That's its genre, I guess.
I want that to be my nickname. CapEx.
CapEx.
Sounds cool.
Name for a good company of some sort. It's interesting to think about the headline, just Obama will probably be a footnote in history, because if you think of it, most American presidents are footnotes. If you think about it, there's maybe five or six, which maybe 10 because of the Cold War era, but most of them no one ever hears about. They were ineffectual. You only hear them because they were assassinated. but you really don't hear about the James Garfields or all the obscure presidents. Basically, the author here is saying that President Obama will probably become one of those presidents where people don't really remember him, like a Roosevelt, like a Eisenhower, like a Lincoln or a Washington, where those are the men who have the pages in the textbooks. While a lot of the media, they calls them the cheerleaders, are trying to cement his legacy as one that deserves to be alongside those men in history books, this person says that's probably not going to happen.
It looks like he's going to stand out just as much as some of those great presidents, but just not in a great way.
Yeah, it's I suppose it's really important to those leaders. They want to have this big legacy they always make their libraries, right? It's kind of like their little, I don't know what you'd call it, their little Hall of Fame or something.
Right.
But, it'll be interesting to see how he's viewed down the road, because a lot of times it changes. You know, presidents are viewed one way while they're in office, and then later it changes. So it'll be interesting to see what people think about him, you know, down the road a little ways.
Yeah, and the reporter here, she looks at all the different legacies of his administration. And because if you think about why do we remember presidents? Washington won the Revolutionary War, first president. Lincoln won the Civil War for the North. Theodore Roosevelt expanded American power. FDR won World War II, got us through the Great Depression. And you can go on and on. But there's some huge event where they really made America better, or they at least made America survive through a moment of crisis. But when you look at President Obama's credentials on his resume, there's really nothing like that.
And what about the Iran deal?
Well, yeah, as he goes through here, any positive things he'd done are really outweighed by a lot of the negatives from his decisions and that sort of thing.
What do they have on the positive side?
I think there's one line about his unemployment rate. But even then, he says that the only reason it looks so good is because a record number of Americans aren't seeking work anymore.
Oh, yeah. There's some really good write-ups out there. I have a book that has a whole section on the funny numbers that they like to throw around. And so, yeah, the creative counting, creative math, I guess, as you'd call it.
Imaginary numbers.
Yeah. And I'm not trying, as far as asking about the positive, I'm not trying to be snarky about it, but I'm just... I can't think of anything. I know certain things that maybe the media would be excited about, but I don't really practical, long-term, positive results. I honestly can't think of one just off the top of my head.
Yeah, the ones that the media are trying to are things like climate change, things like social progress, things like rights for LGBT community. But those things in the grand arc of history don't. Like, they don't matter compared to surviving wars and getting us out of depressions.
Well, and even there, okay, take climate change. Nothing's been done. A lot of money was thrown into projects that went bankrupt, and they built a bunch of stuff that didn't work or it wasn't effective, and they wasted a lot of money. But nothing's been done about it. I mean, I think everybody would be for a, you know, cleaner form of energy or just a, you know, cleaning up water pollution. Everybody wants that. Nothing's been done about it except flying around talking about it and having big meetings and blaming people for things and then trying to, you know, shut down some of the industry in the U.S. But I haven't seen anything positive happen with that, even that one example.
Yeah, exactly. And they have some statistics here where in 2008, President Obama said he would create 5 million green jobs. But in the great irony, over the past few years, the big reason why America's become competitive again and the economy has been in an upswing a little bit is because of fracking and traditional energy jobs like natural gas, oil, coal. Nothing to do with green jobs. It's all about this traditional fossil fuel industry that we already have.
Yeah, where are those green jobs? I mean, all I can think of is a few companies that they tried to start up with some of his buddies got some money. They went bankrupt and, you know, people were being paid to sit there and do nothing. And they hated it because they were just doing nothing. But there was federal bailout money allocated so they'd sit there and do nothing. And those jobs are gone, I'm sure, now.
Yeah, exactly. There's really no tangible evidence of some of these things he's left behind. And even those things he is leaving behind, it looks like Donald Trump might reverse most of them or just change the course, where Donald Trump might be remembered for finishing off some of the things President Obama started. But most of the article focuses on his foreign policy, and there is some pretty scathing sentences. At near the end, the author sums up President Obama's foreign policy as impotent rage, basically that President Obama talks loudly and carries no stick, and that they make these speeches condemning people like Samantha Power in the UN, condemning Russia and Iran and Syria for their war atrocities, but doing absolutely nothing physically about it. And so you have big words, but you have no action. And that doesn't mean anything in history books.
And the most recent example was the election where they said, well, we think Russia tampered with it. I think it was last weekend or something, and the president came out and said, I told him to knock it off or to quit it or something like that. I told him personally. Like, he doesn't care what you say. What is he, a 5-year-old boy? Yeah. He doesn't care what you say to him. I just thought it was ridiculous. People were like, well, he did tell him to quit it. Oh, okay. Well, we'll get right on that.
Yeah, exactly. There's just no...
He should have come along earlier and told Hitler to quit it before World War II, and we would have had no problems.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the points they make, is that although a lot of Americans didn't want to get involved in Syria and these other big conflicts, when President Obama did nothing or he went against his word, especially the red line, that was a big moment when other powers like Russia became bold enough. And now we have it just exponentially worse problems of nations like Russia. Now Putin's might start a new arms race with the United States and nuclear power, that probably wouldn't have happened if America was stronger on a lot of these issues around the world, and especially in Syria. That's really where it all started. But as we know, that was President Obama thinks that's one of his greatest achievements.
Well, I was going to bring that up. I find that interesting because he did come out and say that was one of his greatest achievements, doing nothing. I've had a lot of great achievements then, too, because plenty of times I've done nothing. But then later, he came out and said, well, he has to think about it every day, and you know, like it was kind of a bad thing. He's even kind of flip-flopping on that, I thought.
Yeah, exactly. That is something interesting where when he was very confident that Hillary Clinton would be the next president, where all his where the Democratic Party would lock up the executive, probably the Supreme Court, and even maybe the Congress as well, he felt confident that everything he had been doing would have some longevity. And so I think when he had the Jeffrey Goldberg interview about the Obama doctrine, he was pretty confident that everything he did would be built on by the next president. But now with the election going the exact opposite way, I think he's having to backtrack a little bit, because now all of a sudden everything could change, and his policies won't look that good compared to what might happen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he fares in history. I don't think he'll fare well, because America has been weakened in every way conceivable.
Yeah,
and that's just the bottom line on that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, bottom line, the debt's doubled.
Yeah,
as well. I mean, when in history books, when historians weigh presidents, there aren't any favorites most of the time, and I think President Obama will be remembered as one of those presidents who promised a lot but didn't deliver, and really opened the door for someone like Donald Trump, who might not be remembered kindly by history either, but President Obama preceded him and didn't do anything to stop it.
Well, and it's a tough job, and people make mistakes, but I think this is the first presidency these last 8 years where you had to question whose side he was on. Who are you supporting? Are you for Iran that wants to destroy us in Israel, or are you for Israel? Who are you for? His action said he was for the other side.
Yeah. Well, there's even a poll, I think last year I saw, where he was voted worse than Jimmy Carter by some people as a president of the United States. And Jimmy Carter had been holding that that unfortunate title for a long time. But I think that will become more and more popular as time goes on with a lot of people.
Yeah, really interesting. We have some really good write-ups about this time period in history. You can find it at thetrumpet.com. America Under Attack is a really, really important one. And some really good Key of David programs, too, about the Iran nuclear deal, and a lot written about that. That's going to end up being a really bad deal. I mean, it already is, but it's going to be much more apparent in the near future.
Yeah, I think we've barely scratched the surface on the consequences of the nuclear deal, especially when we start seeing all the money we've given Iran. Once they put that into action, they have been investing it, but once the fruits of that money come to play, I think we'll see the bigger scale of the disaster it's caused. Never mind when Iran gets nuclear capabilities, then we'll really see what's at stake.
Yeah. So those are good programs and some good write-ups at thetrumpet.com. You can check those out. Grant, you've got an article for us here from Heat Street. Team Hillary takes aim at her faithless electors after she loses 5 electoral votes.
Yes, they're definitely not happy that 5 of the Democratic electors did not do what they were supposedly supposed to, which was to vote for Hillary Clinton.
You know, this is interesting to me, because if you were to believe the media, everyone was going to not vote for Donald Trump in the Electoral College and go the other way. And I don't know how many did, but here you have 5 leave Hillary Clinton's side. It's interesting.
Exactly. And it's funny, too, because of the people voted for. One of the electors voted for Bernie Sanders. That's not too big of a surprise. 3 others actually jumped the aisle to vote for General Colin Powell.
And then, really?
And then the other one, this is the really crazy one. One of them voted for environmental activist Faith Spotted Eagle. I don't know if that's a person's name or a group name or maybe like an Indian chief's name, but it's just,
Faith Spotted Eagle?
I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Wow.
But that was a vote in the Electoral College.
I didn't know they were running for office. Huh. Well, that doesn't say much. surprising. That's funny because I don't know. I guess I just assumed they would have voted for Donald Trump, but no, they didn't want him either. They wanted Faith Spotted Eagle.
Right. Three other electors actually tried to vote for Bernie Sanders as well, but they were replaced by party officials before that could happen. So it could have been eight people who switched their votes. And it's funny because whenever you contrast that with the supposed Donald Trump electors, only two of them switched, and both of them voted for other Republicans. So no one went to the other side and voted for Hillary Clinton like people were hopefully expecting, and in fact like Hillary Clinton's camp was encouraging. They were hoping that Donald Trump's electors would be faithless, but now they're furious that their own electors were faithless.
Yeah, I just looked this lady up. She's a woman. How Faith Spotted Eagle became the first Native American to win an electoral vote for president. She's not going to get in. You need more than one vote. But
so that is a person's name.
It is.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, she's a 68-year-old lady.
Wow.
Younger than Trump. She's a child. No, so yeah, that's you got to feel bad, I guess, if you're running for office and they're supposed to vote for you and they vote for some random environmentalist or something.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of a slap in the face.
Yeah, it's quite a slap in the face. I had no idea who Faith Spotted Eagle was, but Faith Spotted Eagle was not running for president.
Yeah, she was shocked about getting the Electoral College vote from Washington, of all places.
Of course.
Of course that's where it came from. And then there's a headline here from The Guardian. Why can't we elect a Native American like Faith Spotted Eagle as president? Wasn't that running for office? That's one of the reasons.
Are they trying to turn that into a race thing again?
I don't know.
Man.
I was a little disappointed that Harambe didn't get any Electoral College votes, but
got 11,000 popular votes, though.
Maybe next year. Yeah. What do you guys think? If Bernie Sanders had been the nominee, do you think he would have given Donald Trump a better run?
I think he would have won,
probably.
Hands down.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, analysts, have said that just because so many millennials would have voted for him that he probably could have swung the vote, and he probably got some of the white working class, too.
Yeah, it's one of those interesting things where this would have been his moment. Right. I mean, he's not going to have another shot, probably, I would think. How old is that guy? He looks really old, but.
Yeah, I think he's hovering around Donald Trump's age.
100, 110. Yeah. but this was probably his shot at it. And to not get it when he really probably should have, that would be a hard thing to swallow.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I remember in the Republican convention in the 70s when they nominated Gerald Ford instead of Ronald Reagan. And immediately after that, everyone realized they made a huge mistake because Gerald Ford, he just didn't do, he was very charismatic and he just didn't really carry, he couldn't beat the Democrats again. But Ronald Reagan, he came back almost 10 years later and did win the nomination in the 80s, of course. But there are some moments there where they have someone picked out, doesn't matter what most people think. But once they nominate someone, they realize, like, oh, we made a mistake. Because actually the electors want, or the people, would probably prefer this other leader.
Yeah. And, beyond just this election, I guess the Democratic Party, they have to look forward and think, what do we need to change next time? You know, because they obviously want to get back in. So,
well, they need to select some better candidates. Because if you looked at the two initial fields, I wouldn't say Donald Trump was necessarily the best one out of the Republicans, but you had 10 or 15 pretty strong candidates. On the other side, you had 110-year-old socialist communist who loves Russia, and yet they're talking about how the Republicans are in love with Russia. And then you have a career criminal in Hillary Clinton, and those were their two best candidates.
It's interesting if you go back and you look at just some of the media reporting from this last year, or you could lump in the comedy shows, the same as the media, I guess. They were just laughing at the idea of Donald Trump. Funniest thing they'd ever heard. Hillary, easy win, easy shoe-in. And they were just shocked by it that it didn't go that way. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I think there's an article by Andrew Miller on The Trumpet about Bernie Sanders did win in a small way where he did forever change American politics because the fact that a socialist and a communist could be so popular and that so many millennials and younger people did like his policies shows that if the Democrats want to win next time, they'll have to be even more left than Hillary was and around where Bernie Sanders is. And that's that's getting pretty far left, in especially in economic policies.
Just got a text from one of our listeners. I couldn't remember that rocker from before. Ted Nugent.
Oh.
Right.
Ted Nugent.
Sounds familiar. I still don't know who he is.
Didn't he sing Cat Scratch Fever or something? Is that that guy?
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always hear internet jokes about Ted Nugent didn't do this. Like, oh, yeah, we almost forgot about him. But
he's actually, I think, well, he gets political. I don't know that he's ever held office, but he's an NRA guy, and he's always wearing camouflage stuff and running through the woods. And he's kind of I don't know, some people like him. I don't know anything about him other than Cat Scratch Fever or whatever that song was.
Is that the music video for Cat Scratch Fever, him running through the woods in camouflage?
It is now. Yeah, it wasn't back in the 70s, but it is now, I think. Hillary's still upset about this vote.
Well, it seems like they're blaming everyone else but their own candidate. And really their only chance at unseating Donald Trump in the Electoral College was Hillary Clinton actually surrendering all of her electors, which apparently her ego is too big enough to do. That's what people close to her said, was that she didn't want to surrender her electors because then it would be like she only got 50 votes, and then it would make it look like her loss was even worse if the plan didn't work out.
Yeah, well, it's usually it seems like, at least from what I can recall, when people lose an election, they just kind of go about their business. They go their way. But they're still out there with the headlines and being upset. They won't accept it.
Yeah. Bernie Sanders is at fault. Huma Abedin is at fault. It's Vladimir Putin's fault. How about FBI Director James Comey? Everyone but Hillary Clinton. It's their fault.
I blame Faith Spotted Eagle. Who does she think she is?
Leading a coup like that.
Taking that vote?
I did, over the last few days, I have seen a lot of pretty prominent people, historians, people who do sway people, say that we can't concede to Donald Trump. We need to dig in and fight for as long as it takes to take him down, like to stop this rise of fascism. And it's pretty, I think, dangerous and a little scary that you have pretty intelligent, influential people. They're not the Alex Joneses of the left or anything. They're
right.
People who are very well respected. They have impeccable records and all that. And they're the ones who are encouraging people to never stop fighting Trump for as long as he's in office. And it's just creating such a divisive atmosphere that it's just going to get worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. And I'm not really sure what they're upset about. I mean, the talking points are all out there, the buzzwords and the buzz phrases, you know, about hating immigrants and things like that. But that's never been said. And I don't know what they're so mad about, really. I mean, if he does something that's crazy, then, well, I guess you have a point, but I haven't seen that yet.
And none of these people who are freaking out like it's the end of the world have really applied for asylum in Canada like they said they were going to. It's only been about 30 people from the United States who have applied for asylum since the election.
They have to drive a Zamboni through Tim Hortons.
Through customs.
Yeah. It's hard to get it up there, get it through that.
5 miles an hour top speed.
Is that what it goes?
It's close to that. It's very slow.
You ever been on a Zamboni?
No, but I've seen plenty in action, though.
The hockey games?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's in the ring. We used to go to a weekly meeting near a hockey rink, and we always see the Zamboni just driving around there.
Be an interesting job. One final point about this story, Grant, about Hillary Clinton being upset about the faithless electors. Even Vladimir Putin's getting in on it. In his year-end address, he came in, took a shot at them, and said, quit blaming everybody else.
Yeah.
Quit blaming me, as he chuckles.
Well, even their own allies are jumping off board because they're being blamed as well. Huma Abedin was Hillary Clinton's top aide.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders pledged allegiance to the Democratic Party even after he lost to Hillary Clinton, and yet she's turning around and blaming these people who were solidly on her side.
Yeah, they're just they're just fracturing. It's interesting to see. I mean, they need a new star, right, of the party. It's been the Clintons for a while, then of course President Obama for quite some time. But now, once you take that loss, that kind of sticks with you. You're a loser, and it's hard to recover after you've lost.
Yeah, that's right. And I was surprised that there wasn't really any other Democrats to really make a big impression on people. Like, anyone of office, most of them are getting old and fading into the sunset. So it'll be interesting in the next 4 years if they can find another person who can take on the mantle and try to beat off Trump. And also for the Republicans too, they have a lot of strong candidates, but a lot of them probably won't run again. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of Republican Party emerges in 4 years, too, from Donald Trump's presidency.
Well, the country is so divided. Who would want to run anymore? You know, is it going to come to that point where nobody even wants to do it?
Well, maybe. Yeah, on the Republican side, everyone's going, if they run, they're going to be completely smeared. Their reputation's going to be absolutely destroyed by the time that they take office, and everyone's going to be convinced that they're Hitler. And if you're on the Democratic side, you're going to have to be competing to see who can go the farthest to the left and be the closest to a communist. That's what Hillary Clinton even had to do to compete for votes against Bernie Sanders. They were trying to say who was the legitimate socialist among the two.
Yeah, and I always got the impression with Hillary Clinton that she really didn't have any big feelings about anything. She just wanted to be president.
Yeah.
She'd be like, yeah, what do you want to hear? Sure, I'll be president.
She just wanted to break that glass ceiling.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like an appealing option to run on either side just because of those problems.
Yeah, and I imagine if you're on the liberal side, I don't know what their game plan is, but I would imagine one of their big game plan points is to take down conservative media, and I think they're trying to do that. They've made some gestures in that direction anyway.
Well, with President Obama saying that Fox News was part of the fake news or part of the reason why there's so much turmoil in America. I mean, Fox News is the big one. If you take down Fox News, what other conservative news sites can withstand that kind of pressure?
Yeah.
So it is interesting a lot. And even with all the controversy between Fox and Donald Trump, too, that could be something to look out for.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do. Neither side, even if they lose, they always kind of rearm and figure out what to do for next time. So we'll see what happens, if there is a next time, that is. Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live, Key of David program, Trumpet Daily Radio Show. On your way, have a great weekend. We'll see you back here next week.
Listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.